After giving the shepherds the good news of the gospel, the angel now pulls back the curtain of heaven itself. And as he does this, we witness that the whole chorus of heavenly beings begin to sing. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. And for just a brief moment, earth and heaven touch again. This is the third Christmas carol in Luke's gospel. And what makes this song different from the others is that it's being sung by a chorus of angels. The angels, of course, have always been singing glory to God and to his Son. From eternity past, these sinless creatures have been worshiping God with perpetual praise. But now God is sending his Son to the world, to a place where he's about to be despised and rejected until death, for the salvation of a fallen race. It's the most glorious demonstration God has ever given of his amazing grace. So it's only fitting that when Jesus arrives, he does so with heaven's highest praise. There is the humility of the manger here on this first Christmas day, but there's also the exaltation of the angels. And imagine what a joy it must have been to sing in that angelic choir. The skies of heaven opening up, countless chorus streams from the courts of heaven, an army of angels revealed in all its glory, and they're singing on a brand new stage. They're now praising God on earth just as they've always done in heaven itself. And there in the middle of the night, they're scaring these poor shepherds half to death with the glory of God. And they're praising God for his grace to sinners. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. Interestingly enough, another plausible way of translating this verse is as follows. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth towards those whom God's will and his favor and his grace rest upon. It's not a promise of universal salvation. It actually teaches the doctrine of election. And these shepherds are the perfect example. They did not choose God. God chose them. Yes, they had to respond in faith, but it was by the sovereign grace of God that they hear the good news on this first Christmas night. And what's also true is that when anyone receives God's grace, not only do they have peace with God, but they become peacemakers in their lives with others. And so the coming of Jesus Christ is not just for the glory of God, it's also for the good of humanity itself. For the glory of God, for the good of humanity, God's peace is being proclaimed. You might recall that Jesus came during the age of the Pax Romana. It's that time period when the Romans often praised their emperor for bringing peace on earth. But this kind of peace often came at a dreadful cost. Nations were plundered, entire people groups were enslaved, they were forced to submit, the poor were greatly oppressed. And so it may have been peace and prosperity for some people, but it was nothing but fear and poverty for others. And furthermore, even those who did have outward peace with Rome, most of them didn't have inward peace for their soul. The Roman emperor might have been able to give some people peace from war on land and sea, but he was unable to give people peace from passion, envy, grief, because even a great Roman emperor cannot give the peace of God. But a new king is now born. And with his birth, the heavenly angels proclaim shalom. In other words, total peace for the whole person. And in Christ, not only can we have peace with God, the most important peace of all, but we can also have peace with one another. We never like to admit it. In fact, we'll do everything that we can to deny it. We often have no problem acknowledging that there are many times in our lives when we're not as passionate about God as we should be. But we have a hard time accepting the biblical teaching that we are constantly at war against God and even have a natural tendency to hate him. But until we're able to see that we are naturally hostile towards God, and that in fact we're angry with him, we don't yet have the spiritual self-awareness needed to receive his grace. I suspect we all know people who are pretty overt about their desire to be independent of God's rule and authority. We religious folks are often much more covert in our rebellion. Our way of rebelling is saying, I'm going to church, I'm following God's commandments, I'm going to live such a morally good Christian life so that God will have to bless me with a good life. And as a result, we try to control God, even if we can't acknowledge it. And we often treat God as if he's our personal assistant. We ask for his help when we really think we need it. And we try to control him because the truth is, oftentimes we don't yet really trust him, at least not fully. And what I hope we can see this morning is that we are oftentimes just as covertly hostile towards God as the person who is overtly rebelling. And whether it's overt or covert rebellion, neither party can stand the fact that God alone is in charge. We're deeply committed to the idea that if we ourselves are in charge of our own life, then we'll truly be happy. It's a very Western way of thinking. The mark of a true Christian is a growing awareness of this natural hostility towards God. It's the recognition that the only thing that can save us is the grace of Jesus Christ, who has come in the flesh to give us peace with God. And not just peace with God, but also peace with one another. And that we no longer have to live in fear in our relationships with each other. We no longer have to worry about how we're going to be perceived by those around us. It's the last verse of O come, Emmanuel. O come, desire of nations bind. All peoples in one heart and mind. Bid all our sad division cease. Be thyself our King of peace. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. All right, so the angel of the Lord has announced the good news. The curtain has been pulled back. Heaven and earth have briefly come together again. The peace of God is being proclaimed. Let's close our study today by observing the various responses to it. For the shepherds, this was not the kind of message they could simply ignore. Filled with joy, they're compelled to tell. Simple, ordinary men, the shepherds hear the angels' announcements. They believe it, they investigate it, and once they confirm that it's true, they go forth in celebration. They tell everyone they meet about the angels they have heard on high. Of course, the way that people respond to the shepherd's story differs from one person to the next. Nearly everyone is amazed by the story that they share, but that doesn't mean that everyone believes them. It most certainly doesn't mean that everyone who hears them comes to faith. People are amazed all the time about all kinds of things that they never fully believe. And the truth is, many people have the same response today. They think that Christmas makes for a good story. They wonder if it's all true. They're just not sure. This baby born in Bethlehem, is he really the Savior and the Lord? Some people wonder, and they keep wondering forever. Mary's response goes a little deeper. Luke tells us that she treasured up all these things. She pondered them in her heart. She believes the shepherds, but she doesn't fully understand. The Greek word for treasure indicates that she's holding on to the words of the gospel by faith. It literally means to keep something alive. Mary is actively relishing and savoring what the shepherds have told her. And she's pondering them in her heart. To ponder means to put in context with, to connect. Mary is trying to figure out how all of this fits with the rest of her life. She still has some things to think about. She's still trying to make sense of it. She's treasuring. She's pondering. It's faith seeking understanding. And it's the only way to do good theology. Faith seeking understanding. And truth be told, it takes Mary a long time to come to a full grasp of the gospel. She doesn't always understand who Jesus is or what he's doing. In fact, on several occasions in the chapters ahead, she's actually opposed to his calling. But she keeps mulling things over. She believes that Jesus is the Son of God. She strives to understand what it all means. And we know that in the end, Mary does come to full faith. We know this because after Jesus ascends, we read about her gathering with the early believers in worship together. And so what a comfort. Both of these responses should be for us on Christmas Day. Perhaps for some of us here this morning, our response is like that of the joy of the shepherds, or the eagerness of the joy of the angels, or the eagerness of the shepherds. These are glad tidings of great joy, and as a result, we're compelled to go and share the good news. But for others of us, maybe our posture is a little bit more like Mary's, a posture of thoughtful reflection as we try to make sense of it all. When we're spending our first Christmas alone, when a loved one is battling terminal cancer, when a family member is not present because they're estranged from the family, it's a little hard to relate to the joy of the angels. And it's in times such as these that perhaps the right posture to strike is the posture of Mary, a posture of sincere surrender as we simply seek to be still and know that he is God. How well Mary succeeds that night or in the years to come is somewhat of a mystery. But at least she recognizes that the birth of her baby has something, and just maybe has everything to do with all the confusing things that are taking place in the world around her. And that, of course, is the reason Jesus came. He came to bring about hope in the midst of life's most difficult storms. He came to bring peace and reconciliation between God and man. He came so that we might live. He came so that, like the angels and the shepherds, we too might glorify and praise. He came so that we no longer need to be afraid. And so surely this is the truth that we're to contemplate and reflect on throughout this day. That today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born. And he is Christ, the Lord. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, on this Christmas Day 2022, fill our hearts the excitement and the joy of the angels here in first Christmas. Lead us to be like Mary, pondering and treasuring all these things in our hearts. Grant to each one of us everything that we need to hear or say or to believe on this Christmas Day 2022. Thank you, Lord, this morning and every morning for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, veiled in flesh, Godhead seen. Lead us now from the manger to the cross. Lead us each and every day to die to self and to rise with Christ. In his precious name we pray.